So anybody get any whatever Black Friday thing, get all your stuff done? Did you get what you needed? Everybody got it? Yeah, everybody. Cyber Monday's still here, coming tomorrow, I guess. You got it? You got to get it, right? Whatever that thing is this year, you got to get it, right? No matter what, you got to get it, right? Before somebody else gets it, right? What they right? Yes, no, maybe? You already got it. Okay. What if we had that same kind of drive, that same kind of ambition, that same kind of determination, that same kind of perseverance to get what we needed from God? What if we really looked and said, I need peace so much, Mom. So I have those, my days, I can't sleep, I can't work, I can't do this, I can't do that. My mind is just, moving, moving, moving. I just need some peace of heart and mind. I just would like to have a little peace. What if you had that determination to be, I have to have that peace no matter what? It's on sale. Did you say it's on sale, Pastor Jamie? We'd all be leaving, getting on Amazon right now, right? Jesus said, and remember what he said in John? He said, I give you peace. That's the last gift he left, right? I give you peace of heart and mind, not as the world gives it. Because the world's peace that it gives us is temporary, is it not? It only lasts for so long, doesn't it? Most of us can have peace right here, right now, in this beautiful place, this sanctuary, this safe place where we all are, right? But we get out of here, then what happens? Where'd the peace go? I guess you left it behind in your seat. I don't know, right? But it's important for us to understand that it's okay to seek after God repetitively and however is necessary to seek the thing you need the most. And you don't have to have any special ways about doing that. You don't have to have any, thoughts about how do I, get peace? How do I find God and all those kind of things? You seek God and God finds you. It's that simple. But you have to seek God and really continue to seek sometimes over and over again. Do you not? Yeah. Right. Because sometimes we get separated. If you're right. Us, we do it. We're the one that gets kind of out of that space. So I guess what I'm trying to say is all of us need whatever we need, whatever we want, we must pursue God for it. And especially if it's something really big that you want or you need for your life, whatever that might be for you, because this is not going to be me telling you what you need. You know what some of those things are, right? And everything you need or you want, you can find where? In God. Even Amazon does not have what God can give you. Even Walmart, big as it is and as cheap as it can be, can't give you what you need. Everything you really need is in Christ. Always, 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 always. So the first place you need to go if you need some kind of emotional support, spiritual well-being, or you need something physical in nature, where do you go? You go to God. You go to God. And if you haven't found your peace yet, what do? You go back to God. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going until you get the thing you need the most. Okay, you good with that? And when you're moving forward in your spiritual journey and you're not quite there yet where you want to be different or be better or be more Christ-like, it's okay to keep asking God to help you get there because some of us are still on the journey, right? We're not all Christ-like yet, are we? No, of course I'm not. So, but we keep pursuing that, don't we? No matter what. Because you got to have it, right? You got to have that Christ-like spirit, most importantly, because that's where you find your peace. And that's where you can also have peace with somebody else as well. Because peace is very often the lack of conflict, is it not? With somebody else. And we humans, we can't seem to get along some days. Well, we're doing good this morning, I want you to know. We're doing excellent, very nice. So far. Until I start stomping on your toes, right? Oh, okay, right. Anyway, point being, when we are out of peace with somebody else, that's also a time for you to go where? To God, to ask God to help you, find a way, give you the words, give you the thoughts, give you the ways in which, or for God to help reconciliation happen. Outside of you. Let God help you with that process. Sometimes you have to wait for God to work on the other person in their situation, right? Because it's not always you that's got the problem. Or maybe it is. But even if it isn't, God's got to work on who? Both people, or a number of people, correct. Exactly. So let's turn to the book of Mark this morning, because I was thinking about this. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to help people. He came to bring things like unconditional love and healing and hope and peace. And he came to do all that for everyone, right? And so his ministry was constantly walking amongst the people and going from one place to another to go seek out the people. Or as he was passing through, the people would often hear about him being in town. And so they would go seeking after him. And so every time he did that, every time he was walking amongst the crowd, somebody very often throughout Scripture you'll see, always, I won't say some happened, always somebody reached out to him and he touched them. He healed them. He restored them. Now, how did that happen? They were seeking him, right? But he was also what? Seeking them. He wasn't a sit-in-the-synagogue kind of preacher man, even though he was a rabbi, even though he was a teacher. He was amongst the people because he knew people had needs. And that's why, you know, churches like ours, we pastors, we like to be amongst the people, because we know that you may have needs. And what's your greatest need? God. And so very often we take you to God in that respect. All right, Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him to heal his little daughter. "She is about to die," he said in desperation. "Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." So what we see here, right? Jesus is where? He crosses the lake. He's amongst all the people, a crowd of people, is he not? Right? One person comes walking up and says, "My daughter has a need for you. I need you. Please come and heal her." And Jesus said, "Wait, I'm here for these people. I got a sermon I got to preach to these folks. I got things I got to do here. I got some fish and bread I got to feed the people with. I got another agenda I'm here for. I got a whole crowd of people. How can I possibly leave this whole crowd and go take care of one person?" That's not in the Bible. Sorry, I was just kind of thinking maybe that's what he would have been thinking. Maybe some of us think that, right? Jesus went with him. You notice that? Jesus went with him. Left everybody behind. "Hey, we gathered here. We came from miles apart. We had all of our lunch. We had to come from. We came to see you, Jesus. Where are you going?" But you see the power of one, how important one person is to God? Do you see that? Do you know that you're that person? Do you know that? You're going to know it now, right? Going forward. And the crowd thronged behind him. So here's the thing. The crowd's going to go follow him to see what he's going to do, right? Because they're curious. Like, she's about to die. What's going to happen? And maybe some of the people in the crowd were like, "Hey, wait, he's going with him. I need a blessing too. I came for a blessing. I'm going to follow him until I get my blessing. Where's he going? I'm not leaving. He's going. I'm going for him, behind him rather, because I need a blessing too." Anybody feel that way some days when, you know, you feel once in a while like other people are being blessed and you're going, "Well, where's my turn?" It's okay to say that, wonder that, right? We humans do, right? Is God ignoring you? No. What you got to do, though? Follow behind him, right? Wherever he goes, you go with, right? Get access to him. And there was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she got worse. She had heard about Jesus. Who told her? Who told that woman about Jesus? Who's a big tattletale that said, "Maybe Jesus could heal you"? I hope it's you guys. If you know of somebody that needs a healing or needs something in their life that's lasted 12 years, 13 years, 20 years, 40 years, how many ever years it is, one day, it doesn't really matter. I hope you say, okay, wait a minute, let's go to tell them about Jesus. I know the one that can heal you. I know the one that can restore you. I know the one that can put your life back together even though it's fallen all apart. Right? Tell people about Jesus and what his power is. Because you've seen power before your eyes, have you not, all the time? Yes, we know about this Jesus, don't we? She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed. Imagine thinking that to yourself. He's in a crowd of people, right? And you're thinking, you see this man in the robe and the fringe, which is basically a tassel. That's actually what Jesus would be wearing. It comes from the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, where people were supposed to put a tassel upon themselves, like a stole would be, or if they wore a robe, they would have a blue tassel at the bottom of it. And that would remind them of the book of the law, of what God had told Moses, to remember that God is great. And that God can do anything. God's the God that took you out of Egypt and set you free. And this is to be a reminder. That's why people wore those robes like that with the blue tassels at the bottom. That's what Jesus would had on his body. Most of us think we hear of the word the hem of his garment. Some of us think of like big long tunic, right? And there would have been a hem. She would have reached down. Actually, was the fact that he had a tassel at the bottom, a fringe. Now think about that. To me, I think about this. This woman's desire to be healed and her belief to be healed and her hope to be healed, that confident hope of understanding. If I touch this man, even the fringe, one little piece of that tassel, I will be healed. What kind of faith is that? And just think about the crowd all around her, right? She had to shuffle her way through there and elbow some people out of the way, perhaps, who's to say? But she had such a strong faith and a belief and trust that Christ could heal her that she thought to herself, if I can just touch the piece of his fringe on the bottom of that tassel, I can be healed. Wow. She had to grope for something, even teeny tiny small. She was on the fringe element, wasn't she, though, when you think about a bleeding woman? First and foremost, Old Testament. She wasn't even supposed to be amongst people, remember? They're supposed to be outside of the camp, are they not? Huh? She's supposed to be on the fringes, way over here, away from all the people. But this woman, you know, she knew something about this Jesus that somebody probably told her. Guess what? He's looking for the fringe people. He's looking for the people that got issues, whatever issue they might be. If you're bleeding hurt, if you're bleeding pain, if you're bleeding emotion sometimes, Christ is the one that can heal you and stop the bleeding of the hurt and pain in your heart, right? This woman's faith is so great that she's so brave to go amongst the people. They knew who she was. How did she hear about Jesus? Somebody told her, right? Those same people were probably amongst the crowd, perhaps, right, following Jesus. And this woman takes great courage to know that she could very well be grabbed up by a bunch of people and thrown aside. That's how bad she wanted to be healed, though, right? She had to have it. I got to have this healing. I got to get to this man somehow, some way, right? Even the fringe of his robe, I got to just touch it. If I can grab a string of it and pull it loose. If need be, right? That shows the kind of faith this woman has, and that's the same kind of faith each and every one of us must have all the time in terms of looking for healing, looking for restoration, looking for something out in the future that seems intangible, that you can't even reach it. You don't know how it's going to happen. It seems impossible. You've always been this way. It's always going to be this way. It'll never change, and that's sometimes what we think, but then you think to yourself, wait. If I only can touch the very piece of that tassel, I can be healed of this and God can provide the answer for me. I'm going through the crowd. Some of us sit back too much, too often, and just procrastinate and wait. Or maybe he'll pass this way another time. I'm sure he's going to be, you know, he'll be around forever, right? This Jesus. Well, he only had a 3-year ministry, folks. Time was short, but most people didn't know that. Right? But imagine having to have Jesus Christ that much in your life to change you, to restore you, to heal you, to put you back together. Most of us have been broken people one way, shape, or form or another. Horrific things have happened to many, many people. I hear too many of the stories. But guess what? God restores and puts people back together. And you may not be exactly the same as you were before, but when Christ comes in, there's peace that comes with that, and you have a new life in him, you get a new creation because Christ is a creator. He created the universe, and he's creating new life for all of us all the time. There's a new way, a new something that comes our way always, right? The question always is, have you got to have it? Have you got to have it? If you got to have it, I pray that you will pour yourself out, run up as much as you can to the altar when we call you to it, if we ask you to come for prayer, whatever the heck, you do it up by yourself alone. I don't care if you have to plead with God like this man Jairus had to plead with God. Please come. He's begging Jesus. But you know what? You don't have to beg Jesus, do you? Think about it. He begged him, and what did Jesus do? Went. We don't have to beg, but we have to want it, right? We have to want to change. We have to want the healing. We have to want that peace in heart and mind. Like, you got to have it. You can't live without it. It's so precious. And just because we never had it doesn't mean we can't have it now. Because today's a new day, is it not? Today is a new day, right here, right now. If you've never had something in your heart and mind that's been healed, today it can happen. Today it can happen. Think of it as you've got to take some action. That's how it happens. And you have to have faith, belief that it's absolutely going to happen. And if it doesn't happen yet, you keep asking until it happens. Oh, let's finish the story. I wonder what happened in this story. Oh, sorry, I went off there. If I can touch his clothing, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel that she had been healed. Immediately. When she went through that crowd, when she just touched the fringe, who knows what part of it she even grasped onto. And power went out of Jesus, and she was immediately healed. And she felt it inside. And some of the healings we have aren't something of a physical nature sometimes, but the emotional scars and wounds that some of us are still bleeding from, those are the things that need the healing the most, do they not? Yes. But all you have to do is reach out. Reach out. Ever, just reach. That's all you gotta, look, reach. Can I see, are your arms good? Can I see how you, okay, all right, very good. Your arms do work to reach. I see that, very good. Very nice. That's all you got to do. How simple? Does it sound too simple? But it's true. Jesus realized that once that healing power had gone from him, so he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" He's in the crowd. Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, "Oh, the crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" He kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. Busted. She believed in Jesus. Busted. Who touched me? What does Jesus want? A permanent relationship with this woman. Not just to heal her, right? Although he did, just by walking by the woman. He's so powerful. Right? And she reached out and touched him. But he wanted to know who touched him so he could then engage with her and have a relationship with her. Right? So that in case she needed something else, he wanted to look her in the face. That's how important this woman was amongst that whole crowd of people. And where is he headed, by the way? He's on his way to Jairus's, right? Multitasking at its best. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You are healed permanently." What made her well? her faith in him. The belief when she thought to herself, if I can just touch him, I will be healed. That's the kind of thinking all of us need, do we not? And not only, you know, if you need something, whatever it is, and you got to have it, and you say, I need peace so much, and you think to yourself, if I can just get in touch with Jesus, I'll have that peace. You see how it works? You expect it to happen, don't you? If I can just reach out to him, I'll have it. That's how it works. So now you know how to have peace anytime you want it, right? Anytime you need it. And peace comes in having a relationship, too, because there might be something else in the future that something may happen, right? That might disrupt the peace, yes? This woman might come up with some other disease at some given point, right? What do you think is going to heal her next time? And faith in Christ. Faith is not a one-time thing. It's an every-time thing. And what tends to happen the longer you have this faith and exercise it, the more you have faith in great, awesome things that you think are holy mackerel. How could that ever happen? That's the kind of faith that all of us need to have all the time, is it not? While he was still speaking to her, the messengers arrived at Jairus' home with the message, your daughter is dead. There's no need troubling the teacher now. Send him back. But Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just trust me. And of course, he gets there and he raises this little girl from the dead. She was 12 years old. Same amount of time this woman had 12 years of, 12. What's the number 12 mean anyway? Anybody know what the number 12 means by chance? Oh, whole and complete. 12 disciples. There's a lot of 12s in the Bible, right? So 12 is a significant number here that Jesus does his best work in bringing completion, bringing wholeness to people. So gets to the place and the crowd laughs at him, but he told them to go outside. He took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around the room. Her parents were absolutely overwhelmed. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened, and he told them to give her something to eat. This guy's always feeding people. Back to life normal, right? But do you notice the crowd laughed at him? How many times have we sometimes been laughed at in our faith walk? Sometimes you believe things that other people can't believe, and you say, oh, I'm going to watch what God can do here. And sometimes people laugh, and they think, boy, she's like, woo-hoo. So whatever. The good thing about Jesus is this, and it's still true today. Whether people laugh or whether people say it can't be done, Jesus is still sovereign over everything. And Jesus can heal today just as much as he did then. And sometimes we need revival in us, do we not? Like this little girl, sometimes things die in us, do they not? Sometimes we lose sight, right, in our faith walk. Sometimes we lose our faith. Sometimes it gets a little, watered down, right? And that's okay. But today's the day you get it back. Because faith is something that needs to be in our lives all the time, every day, for every single moment. And what do you have to do? Reach out. Only if you got to have it, whatever it is you're after. If you really got to have it, whatever that is, press on. Keep asking. Keep moving forward, no matter what it is. Listen, something valuable and important is always worth the effort it takes to go to God in prayer and keep asking and keep reaching. And what do you have to grab him by? You have to grab his whole tunic and knock him to the ground and beg him to do something for you? What do you have to reach for? Just the hem of the garment. And it doesn't matter what's going on with you. Does it matter who you are? Does it matter that you're on the fringes somewhere because you're a little on the odd side like I am? Does it matter who we are? Christ was willing to help a synagogue leader and a bleeding woman. Exact opposites when you think about it, right? Holy, holy, not so much, according to people. But he helped them both, did he not? So God is willing to help you today. What do you have to do this morning? Think to yourself, if I could only reach out in prayer and just the slightest teeny tiny prayer to him, and I keep praying and I reach out no matter what's going on around me, and people are laughing and thinking, oh, that'll never happen. I'm going to think to myself, if I can just touch the edge of his garment, I'll get what I need. Got to have it? Got to have it for real? Got to really have it? Whatever it is that you haven't had so far and you've been looking for forever, what do you have to do? Reach out. How far? Not much. Are you willing to do it this morning? All right, good. I thought I'd have to preach some more. You've been saved. Here's the last thing from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. This is a prophecy that happened before Jesus. People from different nations and languages will clutch at the hem of a believer and say, please let us walk with you because we heard God is with you. So think about this, church. Each and every one of you, some of you have been healed and some of you are still reaching out, and some of you have had a lot of things God's changing you and helped you with. And all of you have faith and trust in God, right? And all of you are walking with God, right? That's why you're here. And even those watching, that's why you're here. That's why you're listening. That's why you do what you do all the time, right? Listen, when somebody walks up to you and tugs at your shirt or blouse or whatever it might be, or the hem of your pants or whatever, or taps you on the shoulder, or just walks into your face, whatever, and they say, I need something, what are you going to say? What do you need? How can I help? Reach out to Jesus, first and foremost. Oh, let me introduce you to this Jesus. Right? Because we are those people now that Zechariah is talking about. We walk with God, God within us, do we not? And sometimes when we touch a person, we could very well heal them. Not us. Who? Christ in us, right? So listen, when you're around one another, understand that you can be healers of people's hearts, minds, and souls. When you walk around with that mentality, when somebody walks up to you and they have a need, you suddenly stop what you're doing. You say, this one person matters more than the whole crowd I'm with right now, and I need to help and be with them and teach them and bring them to Christ and pray with them and let him touch his robe, however that is, through prayer. That's how we reach out to Jesus today, right? Remember that who you are as well. I hope and pray that each and every one of you all the time realize that you are walking Jesus Christ. That's most important coming from this message today. It's not always about what we need. It's also about what other people need. That's why we Christians exist. That's why churches like this exist. To say to people, okay, all you have to do is think to yourself, if you can just get to Jesus, everything's going to be okay. And that's all you have to say. All you need is Jesus. Everything's going to be okay. You matter. You're important. Let me introduce you to my Jesus. That would be a Merry Christmas indeed, would it not? So you know your assignments now? You have two. One, if you have a need, you do what? Reach out. That's right. You reach out in prayer. Secondly, if someone comes to you with a need, you reach out. Yes, you help them. And you reach out to God with them. How easy is that? So we're going to do a lot of reaching, right? Good exercise. Our arms will be stronger as time goes on. Amen? Amen. Amen.